Man, I'm having a bad recording day, so I totally apologize for missing the introduction from our study last week, where we covered John 19 through 24. But let's move on in our study today with John 18, verse 25, which reads, "And now we're going to switch the camera. John, the narrator, is going to switch the camera back over to Peter and what's going on with Peter. Now, if you go back, let's go back for reason of review for just a minute. And let's go back and let's read verses 15 through 18 of John 18 so that we can remember where Peter was from a couple of weeks ago. And it says, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door," verse 16, "without," or outside. "Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her," the woman, "that kept the door, and brought in Peter." So he's whoever the other disciple was, and we had some discussion about that, went and spoke to the lady doorkeeper of that part of the palace. And then Peter was allowed to come in, as it is witnessed there by verse 16. Verse 17, "Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" Peter said, "I am not." The first denial that's recorded here in John. "And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." And that's where we left off 2 weeks ago, before we went over the portion that dealt with the Lord last week. Well, now, today, here in verse 25, we're going to pick up with Peter again. Picks up the story with Peter in the midst of the denials. I'll say it right in a minute. Right here in the middle of the denials of the Lord. I'm having trouble all around the Lord this morning. I can't make my tongue work. Verse 25, And Peter stood, or was standing, and warmed himself. So you can see we're picking up right with the story, right where we left off in verse 18 above. "They said therefore unto him," now this is the "they" of the officers of the court that are standing around the fire. "They said, Art not thou also one of his disciples?" So here's the second time somebody has recognized Peter. So they right out ask him, "Hey, aren't you one of this Jesus' disciples?" The scripture here records it very plainly. He denied it. Or he denied. The "it" is added by the translators because you see that it's italicized. Denied there is the Greek word arniomai. And it means to disavow, to reject, to deny. "No, I'm not one of his disciples." He said, "I am not." So here is recorded in John the second denial. In John. Now, I keep saying denials in John. There's a reason for that. And we're going to get into the reason here in just a verse or two. So bear with me. So he denied it, verse 25, and he said, "I am not." Second time. Verse 26. "One of the servants of the high priest, being kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off." Oh, so this is somebody that's kin to Malchus. You remember the earlier part of the story? Peter, as we discussed, comes up with the sword and he cuts off a chunk, or he cuts Malchus's ear completely off. Said it cut off his ear. Well, I can't take that any other way but to mean that the guy could literally hold the exterior part of his ear in the palm of his hand if he wanted to. He cut it off. "So one of the servants of the high priest, being kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? This is one of the ones that went with the entourage, with the posse, so to say, that went to capture the Lord. And this is he's a kinsman to the guy that was injured. So, you know, if you put yourself in his place, if this happened to me or my brother, let's say I went with Tony or somebody that I'm kin to and somebody cut off his ear, I believe I would have a pretty good picture of the guy that did it in my mind, of the perpetrator. I believe I could remember that. So this guy's standing there, and he said, didn't I see you in the garden with him, with Jesus? Ain't you a disciple of this Jesus? Yeah. Well, you don't want your ear to be cut off, right, Tony? I see that. So he said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? In verse 26 there. And that word see, incidentally, and any time, it's like Barney said about the word all things, or the phrase all things earlier in his studies. When you see the word see in the scripture, there are a lot of Greek words that are rendered see in the English. So see is another one of those words you got to watch. And in this case, he said, didn't I see you in the garden? It's the Greek form eidon. And it means to perceive with the eyes in recognition of the object observed. It means to look at something with your eyes and recognize who or what that is. That's literally what the word eidon in the Greek means. So he saw Peter and recognized him. And that's why he says what he says. He said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Didn't I perceive you with my eyes in the garden with this Jesus? Verse 27, and here we go. Peter then denied, or again, therefore, Peter denied him. Again. And immediately, right at that point, right at that moment, that's the Greek word euthesis, immediately the cock crowed. Or the cock crew, or crowed, or a cock crowed, as the translation should be. Now, why would it say a cock crowed? This here is the recording. This is the third denial is recorded here just before a cock crowed. This is the first of two cock crowings that are recorded in the scripture. Now, did you know that? Or have you ever thought about that? Or have you ever looked at that? Well, Dr. Bullinger did. And there is an entire appendix in the Companion Bible devoted to how many cock crowings there were, the situations and the prophecies of these cock crowings, and the record of the fulfillment of each of these cock crowings. Did you know that instead of three times, there were two sets of three, or six cock crowings? It's very interesting. Again, I'm not going to go into every jot and tittle, because it's not really completely relevant to the moving forward in John. But sometime, if you have a little time, and you have a little interest, and you pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you, you can go and look and read at Appendix 160 in the Companion Bible, if you have one. Because it is extremely interesting and eye-opening what is brought out there. And if you think about it, what's happening here in the denial of the Lord, if there were only three denials, that's the number of perfection placed. Number three is the number of spiritual perfection placed on these denials. If it's two sets of three, we have a total of six denials, which is more fitting because six is what? Six is the number of man. and it fits perfectly with exactly what's going on here. Denial of the Lord is something that was totally attributed at this point to man. So, very interesting there. I'm not going to get into the semantics of the differences, but there are literally different prophecies. There are different fulfillments of the prophecy. There are different occasions where there literally are six different cock crowings recorded in John 3 and John 3 in Matthew. Go back, and in addition to looking at Appendix 160, go back and look at Matthew chapter 26 and read verses 58 through 75. You will see a record of Peter's denials that totally don't match with what's going on in the book of John. Totally. He's asked by different people. He denies at different times, under different circumstances. Totally different account. So check that out. We're not going to take the time this morning to get into that. I guess if I were to give you a homework assignment, that would be your homework assignment for today. Go back, as Tony's listed there, it's Appendix 160, in the CB, and check out the denials of Peter, and look at what is more fittingly six denials of the Lord by Peter, as opposed to three. Now the Lord prophesies the denials in sets of three. He said, before the cock crows, thou wilt deny me thrice. Remember? But there's more than one prophecy recorded in the Gospels that deal with this. And remember what we said last week. To get the entire story of the Lord's time on the earth in the flesh, you have to look at how many of the Gospels? All of them. They all go together and make one beautiful account. And thank God we have it, of the Lord's time on the earth. So looking at just one clock view, one camera view here, doesn't cut it. And what I want you to understand is that there's another camera view that's recorded in Matthew and presented in a kingly theme that deals with these denials that are different, that are at different times and in different circumstances. So check that out. I want you to understand the whole picture, not just John's camera view here. Go look at all of them and let the scripture stand for itself. Let the truth of scripture. I think it's awesome that Dr. Bullinger recorded some of these things for us so that we would have a broader picture painted with a broader brush of the further truth of the scripture. And that's, to me, what it's all about. So, I kind of beat that horse to death. Let's read 27 again, then it says, Peter then denied again. And that's the same word denied as is used up in verse 25. And it's arniomai, which means to disavow or reject. So he again, the third time, rejected the Lord here. And it says, and immediately the cock crew. Now, once we get past verse 27, John's done talking about that. He don't go into the bitterly weeping that Peter did that's recorded over in Matthew. He don't say anything about that. John keeps going right on. Why? Because with Christ being presented as God in the book of John, those details aren't important. They're just not important for the relevance of what John is trying to put forth in the way that he's portraying the Lord in the Gospel of John. As led by the Holy Spirit. Remember that. These are John's words being led by the Holy Spirit to write them. So let's keep going just like John did. We could go over and read Matthew 26, 58 through 75, but I think you'll be better served if you go and do that kind of in the peace of your own little study and check it out. So let's move forward. John 18:28 says this. Then, or therefore, it should be therefore there where it says then in 28. I'll leave the note in the companion Bible on the therefore, incidentally. It says, this follows the decision of the Sanhedrin recorded in Matthew 26, 58 through 27, 2. So, with what I just told you to read regarding Peter's denials as recorded in Matthew, if you go just a couple of verses on down into Matthew 27 and go through verse 2, you will have the record where you get the decision of the Sanhedrin as it's recorded there in Matthew. You remember what I said, you got to put all the Gospels together. John here is hitting the high points. If you go over to Matthew, you'll get a few more of the details. Remember we saw the witnesses last time, the false witnesses that they stacked up against the Lord, trying to find something to accuse him of. So it says, this follows the decision, the therefore there, follows the decision of the Sanhedrin recorded in Matthew 26, 58 through Matthew 27, 2 in parallel passages. And it says, see above verse 24. And we've already been through that. So therefore led they Jesus away from or from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Now, look at the note in the companion Bible if you have one. And Tony, I really appreciate you being able to post these notes because it makes a big difference. And a lot of folks can see exactly where some of these things are coming from here, some of these call outs. The hall of judgment is called the Greek, and then the Greek word here, it's praetorium. And means the house of the praetor in the Roman government. It says, see Mark 15:16, probably connected with the castle of Antonia, built by Herod the Great and named after Mark Antony. It was not Herod's palace, as is clear from Luke 23:7. It says, compare the same word in Acts 23:35 and in Philippians 1:13. So this is the hall of judgment, the praetorium. They take him from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. So we're getting a pretty good blow-by-blow here from John, not only of the events taking place, but of the time frame taking place. And, incidentally, if you want to get into this in extreme detail, go and look at Appendix 156 in the Companion Bible. I highly recommend it. It's literally a chronological blow-by-blow of the several days preceding the Lord's crucifixion and the days afterward when he was in the grave. 3 days and three nights. And I'll throw that little blurb in there for Appendix 156 because it was early here. It means, i.e., in the early hours of the preparation between 11 p.m. and midnight. Because you got to remember, their days were reckoned from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Not like ours are, from midnight to midnight. Theirs was from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. That was a 6 p.m. today, and starts a new day, and then that day ends at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Sundown to sundown is what they called it. So check that out. Look at the 6 days as Tony's listed here, the 6 days before the Passover. I could take hours and hours and hours in our study to go over these things, but it's one of those things that you really need to do on your own, I think. I've done it, and I've never regretted it. It's one of those things your jaw drops when you go, and the reason I love Appendix 156 is because it takes the entirety of all four Gospels into account when they write that chronology. So that we have a record of everything that is mentioned that the Lord did and was said and where he was moved, and all these things are put in order by the writer of that appendix. It's extremely interesting, and I, there again, highly recommend it that you go and look at it. You may not agree with everything there, but it certainly will give you a good springboard to jump into your own study and get clear in your mind that the garbage of Good Friday and all this stuff that man's come up with just doesn't apply. And you can get the true timing of what took place in the days prior to the Lord's crucifixion there. So 28, back to our study. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. It was early in the morning. And it goes on to say, and they themselves, now listen, they themselves, these are the high priests, went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So if you go, and again, we're not going to get into it, but if you go and look at the rules of the Passover, the children of Israel were not to do anything that defiled them prior to eating this high holy feast. And Barney, you know, mentioned earlier in his study about these various feasts that the Jews had to partake in. But here, if they go into this place, in their mind, they're defiled because they're, you know, keepers of the law. If they go in there, they'll be defiled and won't be allowed to eat the Passover. So I thought that was extremely interesting. The word defiled there in the Greek is meno, and it means to sully or to taint or to contaminate. Now, we had our radiological training, we call it, over at the nuclear station as a fire department last Monday night. And when I saw this word contaminate, you know, they give us a little blurb about, well, if you're ever, you know, if we ever have to call you guys over and you have to get inside what they call the protected area, to where any radioactive material is, there are three kinds of radiation, alpha, gamma, and beta, or alpha, beta, and gamma. And various parts of radiation can be stopped. Some of it can be stopped by as little as clothing or a piece of paper. The alpha particles can be stopped very easily. But now the gamma radiation is radioactive to the max. And it takes layers of lead to stop gamma radiation. And when this radiation hits anything, whatever it hits is considered contaminated. And it has to be treated as if it's now a producer. Almost like Ebola. If you're exposed to Ebola, you're contaminated. And you have to go through now the 21-day incubation period, or the period to make sure that you don't show any of the signs or the symptoms of Ebola. Well, here, these Pharisees and the high priest and those of the court, these Jews, thought that if they went into this Roman hall, that they were just radioactive, that they were contaminated, that they were nasty, dirty, sullied, tainted, and they wouldn't be able to participate in the Passover. That's probably per the law in the book, probably in the book of Leviticus, if I was guessing. So there again, not going to get into that deeply. Another thing that you can check out on your own, but I thought it was interesting that they would put that note in there that way and bring it out the way they did. Verse 29. Well, where it says, before we get into 29, where it says, but that they might eat the Passover, it says, see Appendix 156 for the complete listing of all the chronological events of the Lord's last days on earth as a human being. That's the note that I wrote. And Tony's already put that note up there. Check out Appendix 156. I want to make sure that we didn't miss that. And if you look at the note in the CB where it says eat the Passover, this says at the close of this preparation day, the 14th of Nisan, the Jewish month of Nisan, N-I-S-A-N, at even. And there again, it refers you over to Appendix 156. And if you look at that, it will lay out, as it says here, day by day by day, and event by event by event of everything according to the scripture that happened to the Lord during his time. Verse 29, Pilate then went out unto them and said, here's his question, what accusation bring ye against this man? What are you charging him with? Remember, they brought him over to Pilate. So he says, what accusation, what category? And our word category comes from this. The English word category, which means what? It means a placeholder with a specific definition as a category. You know, for the political scene now, the categories are libertarian, democratic, and republican. Those are the categories. Everybody ever watched Jeopardy? You know, they have a category that's a particular subject. And then they got, you know, the boxes open underneath each subject. And you've got the question that's associated with the category. Well, that's what this word means. But here it's categoria. What charge? What category of crime, I guess, is what Pilate's asking here. What type of crime? What is the actual charge that you're charging this man with, he says here? What categoria, what charge bring ye, or complaint, bring ye against this man? Verse 30. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Well, to me that sounds like a little bit of a generalization, and it sounds like a little bit of trying to skate around the truth. And it sounded the same way to Pilate. Look at the note on the word malefactor there. Because they said, if he were not a malefactor, a kekophios, or an evildoer, it says this is used, the note in the CB says this is used only here, and in 1 Peter 2:12 and 14, 3:16, and in 4:15, and it says compare Luke 23:32. They expected Pilate to take their word for it and condemn him unheard. See Acts 25:16. So when they brought the Lord over, Pilate says, okay, what are you charging this man with? Well, the Jews didn't want to get into the details because the Jews wanted him dead, and they wanted him dead as soon as possible. So the Jews, in order to kind of move this along, and there's a note in the Companion Bible that goes along with this. Look, let's skip on that. Let's read 31, and then we'll read the note on that, and we should be about done. So it says in 30, they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor or an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, here's his reply, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Now, look at the note in the Companion Bible that Tony just posted up there on where it says it is not lawful. It says, for violations of their law, they seem to have had the power of stoning to death. And it says, look at John 8:59, John 10:31, Acts 7:59, of course, where they stoned Stephen. Here's the deal. These Jews, it says, but they feared the people. Remember, there are still a lot of people out there that believed in the Lord Jesus, that were healed and believed the signs, miracles, and wonders that took place. But they feared the people and so had determined to raise the plea of rebellion against Caesar and throw the odium of the Lord's death upon Pilate. They wanted him dead, but they didn't want to be the blame for it because they knew the Jewish people that did believe would probably retaliate. So you see the politics that are ensuing here. This whole political cover-up kind of that the Jews are trying to do by dragging the Romans in to make them blame the Lord of sedition against Caesar, which was punishable by death. The Romans would not put up with you questioning Caesar or trying to overthrow Caesar. They would kill you in a heartbeat for that. So the Jews know this. The Jews have been prisoners of the Romans long enough, or captives of the Romans long enough, to know these things. Under their law, they had the authority to kill him, just like they did Stephen. So they're lying a little bit here. Imagine that, lying in politics. I can't imagine that happening, can you? You know, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance. I can't imagine a politician lying, can you? Well, that's kind of what's going on here. Same thing. They're shading the truth or presenting the truth in different words, trying to get the blame. That is an awesome note in the Companion Bible. And it shows the depravity of these folks, the ones that wanted him dead. It shows the ends that they would go to make sure that it took place. I thought that was an awesome note. So 31 says, then Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. Well, he basically gave them permission there. You take him. You judge him. You do whatever's needed to be according to your law, not my law. Not Roman law, but Jewish law. You take him. You do it. Pilate, we'd love to. But there's a lot of people in our country that love him, and we think it's going to be a problem if we do that, is what the truth is, I think, behind all this. But they didn't want. They wanted the job done, but they didn't want the blood on their hands. They wanted the blood on somebody else's hands so that they could point to the Romans and say, hey, the Romans did it. We didn't kill him. You know, he was blaspheming God. We just brought him up on charges. The Romans killed him. That's how they wanted the whole thing to go down. Where he says in verse 31, and we're almost done here, take ye him. Pilate literally there said, take him yourselves. When he says, take ye him, he's saying, take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. Isn't that something? That is, the Roman leader literally gave them permission to do with Christ whatever they wanted to do. Take him and judge him according to whatever your laws are. I don't want anything to do with it. But they said, oh no, we brought him here because they were trying to drag the Lord's words about, you know, rebuilding the kingdom and him being the king and all these things as sedition against Caesar and try to make it look that way. So I think that's, we'll stop here for today. I thought that was a pretty awesome little commentary there that the Companion Bible had in, for verses 30 and 31. And we'll stop there for today and we'll pick up with it next time. We know, of course, the outcome of all this. We know where it's heading. And we know that this, too, and this again, is just still part of the Father's cup. You remember? We talked about the cup that the Father gave. The Lord said, the cup that my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He knew what was coming. He knew all this was in his future. He knew all this was the will of the Father. He knew that all of it was part of what the Father, the work that the Father had laid out for him to complete. And praise God that he completed it and was yet without sin. And that's what saves us. So thank you folks for being with us. I hope you were edified by what you heard this morning. We'll continue in John next week. And let me stop the recorder here.